I wish all of God's children would do what we've just said. I wish all of God's children would begin to cry out and feel a great desire to come home. Lord, I'm coming home. And I don't think that's talking about going to heaven when we die, but I think it's about God's people returning to the Lord, going back to the Father and the Father's house and the fellowship of God's people, and going back to God's Word and God's way. And I pray that God will help us. I know Brother Bud mentioned after church this morning that somebody said to him in the right hand of Christian Fellowship, someone said, "Welcome home." And that's what this is. It's a gathering together of the family of God in the house of God to worship God. If you have your Bibles tonight, I would like to ask you to turn to Matthew chapter 16. Often when someone unites with the church, as Brother Bud and Sister Ruth did today, I often, in the evening service before the baptism, I try to preach about the church, and I feel burdened to do that again tonight. Sometimes I think that we take the church for granted. I think that we take many things for granted. I think that sometimes we take running water for granted. We take air conditioning for granted. We take automobiles for granted. We take many of the natural blessings that we have that we ought to be very, very thankful for. I think we take those blessings for granted. And I think that that's also true sometimes of the spiritual blessings that we have in our lives. I think that sometimes we take those blessings for granted. I think that we take having the Word of God in such an abundance, to be able to, every one of us, to have the Word of God in our homes and to be able to read the Word of God and study the Word of God, I think that we take that for granted. We don't appreciate the Word of God as much as we should, and I don't think that we appreciate the church as much as we should. And I pray that God will help us tonight to have a renewed understanding of the importance of the church and the beauty of the church whenever the church is following the Word of God. Before we begin to endeavor to study from God's holy Word, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee again, Lord, for the privilege that we have to come together in Thy house to try to worship Thee, the one true and living God. Lord, we thank You that Thou art our Father and that Thou hast loved us with an everlasting love. And as we have just sung, "Lord, I'm coming home," we pray that Thou would help all of us to come back home to Thee, and that Thou would help us to separate ourselves from the world and the things of the world and the ways of the world, that we would stop loving the world and that we would love Thee and that we would come home to Thee. Every day of our lives, help us, Lord, to dwell in the house of the Lord. Even when we're not in this church building, Lord, help us that we would dwell in Your presence and to be able to feel the comfort of the Holy Spirit, to be able to feel that God is with us and that we're able to commune with Thee as friend with friend. We do beg Thy blessings upon all those who stand in special need of Thy help. You've heard the different prayer requests. You know all the different ones that are on our hearts and our minds that stand in special need of Thy help. Lord, we know that nothing is impossible with Thee. We know that You're able to help and to bless. We beg You in the name of Jesus Christ to bless and help all those that are on our hearts and minds, those that have physical problems. We pray that Thou, as the great physician, would touch their bodies, strengthen them and lift them up and restore them to the health. Pray that You would bless those with emotional problems and spiritual problems, that You would bless them, that they might experience a great spiritual revival. Thou would lift them up and they would be able to feel close to Thee again. Bless every member and every friend of the church. We thank You, Lord, for every person who's here tonight. We ask You to bless each individual. We especially thank You, Lord, for Brother Bud and Sister Ruth coming and asking for a home in the church. And we pray that You would bless them to feel that this is home. Bless them to feel the love of God, the warmth of God, the presence of God. And bless them to feel the love of Thy people. We thank You again for them. We thank You for the Spirit of God that radiates from their lives. We thank You for the love and the fellowship that we enjoy with them. And pray that You would just help all of us together every day to love each other more. Bless us now and keep us close to Thee and close to each other. Have mercy on our nation and all those in authority over us. Guide them and direct them and give them wisdom and understanding. And we pray that You would forgive us, Lord, for taking the freedom that we have for granted and all the peace and all the blessings of life. Forgive us for not being more thankful than we are.
help us as we think about the church now, that we might hear the word of God and understand it and believe it, and that we might rejoice in the truth and the beauty of thy church. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I'd like to ask you now to please look at your Bibles at Matthew chapter 16, and would like to begin reading with verse 13 and read through verse 19. Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse 13 and reading through verse 19. The Word of God says, "When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' And they said, 'Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets.' He saith unto them, 'But whom say ye that I am?' And Simon Peter answered and said, 'Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.'" Correctly read, that's Matthew 16, verses 13 through 19. I want us to go back now and look at verse 18, especially the latter part of that verse. In verse 18, the Word of God says, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter." And then I want you to listen carefully. "And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I want us to think about those last words in verse 18. First of all, Jesus says, "Upon this rock." Now, what was that rock? There are two different things, I think, that you can understand the rock to be. First of all, and beyond anything else, that rock would represent Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. He is the rock upon which the church is founded. It's not founded on Peter, though Peter was called, he is a little rock. This word rock has reference to a large rock and has reference primarily to Jesus Christ. But I believe that also the Word of God teaches that this truth, this particular truth, this bedrock of truth, what did Jesus ask Peter? He said, "Whom do you say that I am?" And then Peter gave him the answer. He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, brethren, I believe that the church is founded on Jesus Christ, but I believe the church is also founded on this principle of truth, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I believe that any organization, I don't care if it calls itself the church or the Church of Jesus Christ, doesn't matter what name is on the building, any church that does not declare truthfully that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that is not His church. His church is built on this truth, this bedrock of truth, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that entails all kind of great truth with it. When you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you believe He is the one that was anointed and appointed by God to come into this earth to save His people from their sins. He didn't come into this world. We're not talking, you know, there are different Jesuses that are taught today. Do all of you understand that? There are people who have the name today, Jesus. There are people who have religious names, Jesus. But the Jesus that the church is built upon is not a weak Jesus. It's not a Jesus that ignores sin or overlooks ungodliness. Jesus is going to always, the true Jesus, is always going to be shown to be the sovereign God of heaven and earth. If you deny that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, if you deny that Jesus is God manifest in the flesh, then you're not a part of His church.
So that's part of the meaning in this the expression when he says, upon this rock, upon this truth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, upon this bedrock of truth that Jesus is the Christ, upon this rock, and then the second expression he says is, I will build. Now who does the building? It's Jesus that does the building. Now, we are all fellow laborers, and you can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and you can talk about how we are laborers together with God. But you go to Acts chapter 2, and you read about the early church, and you read about all the work that the people did. The people did not add other people to the church. The people did all kinds of work under the leadership of the Spirit of God. But then when you finish in Acts chapter 2, as you read about the early church and all of her activities, the people never added anybody to the church. But the Word of God, after the people did all the work, then the Scripture says, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now who is it that builds the church? Who does Jesus say built the church? Jesus says, and I will build. The church is built. And I'm not talking, remember now, when we're talking about the church, we're not talking about these blocks and bricks and plaster and windows. This building is nothing but the meeting house of the church. The church is the people who make up the body. That is the church, as is talked about in God's holy word. And so when he talks about upon this rock, I will build my church, he's talking about the building blocks, the people that are called lively stones. You know, now who's the great stone? Who's the solid rock? Jesus. Who is the chief cornerstone? It's Jesus Christ. And yet the Word of God teaches, as we'll look in just a minute, that we're all building blocks that God adds to the church to build up the church in the earth. Every one of you as children of God who are members of the church, God has added you to the church, and you are a part, an integral part, of the building blocks that make up the spiritual church that Christ has established in the earth. So he says, upon this rock, I will build, and I want you to notice the next two words, I will build my church. This is not our church. I know that we all, sometimes we make mistakes, and we say, you know, this is our church, or would you come with me to our church? I just want to exhort all of you to remember, you don't find those words in the Word of God. You don't find the people ever calling it their church because it's not their church. It wasn't their church. This is not our church. This is not my church. It's not your church. It's not our church. It's the church of Jesus Christ. It belongs to Him. It has been purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It's been built by the blood, built by Jesus Christ. The foundation of the church is Jesus Christ. The head of the church is Jesus Christ. And the body, the people that make up the church, they're called the body of Christ. Now that's all you can get. It's His church. It's not our church. It's His church. And as His church, we can't make up our own rules for His church. We can't. It's not our prerogative. It's not within the realm of our responsibility to try to make up the rules for the church. Where does His church get all of her rules? Right out of the Word of God. That's the only rules we have in the church. Isn't that wonderful? That's the only rules we've got. We state in our articles of faith that we believe the Scriptures of the Old and New Testament to be the inspired Word of God and our only rule of faith and practice. That's it, brethren. That's the only. I can never exhort you to follow something outside of what God says in His Word. It's His church and it's His rules. It's His laws that the church is to follow. His church. Upon this rock, I will build my church. And then the last phrase there says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, gates. I want you to think about gates just a minute. I know for a long time when I was a child, I used to think about the gates of hell prevailing against the church. I used to think about the devil coming against the church being stationary and the devil coming against the church. Do you see that picture? That's the way I always envisioned it in my mind. Here's the little church, and here comes the, like we're the cowboys, and here comes the Indians, and they're coming against the church, the devil and his angels. That's not the way it is. I want you to understand that the expression here is, after Jesus says, upon this rock I will build my church, he says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. The church is to be going forward. And as the church goes forward, one of the songs that we sing, I believe it's called Onward Christian Soldiers. One of the verses in that song says, like a mighty army moves the church of God. The church of Jesus Christ is an active body of born-again baptized believers that are going forward in their service to God. And as they go forward, the devil's going to put up some gates. And every time he puts up those gates, or every time he puts up those barriers, we have a promise from Jesus that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. They cannot overpower the church. And the church has the power to overcome any obstacle that the devil puts in our pathway. Any gates, any obstacles that the devil puts against the church can, it shouldn't even slow down. Just charge forward. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. As long as this world exists, let me tell you this. This is a wonderful blessing. As long as this world exists, Jesus is going to have His church in the earth. It will never be destroyed. Now, local church bodies are destroyed. You read about the letters to the seven churches in Asia in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. Those churches are all gone today. Every one of them, they're gone. You don't find the church at Ephesus or the church at Philadelphia. You don't find the church at Sardis. You don't find those churches, the church at Laodicea. Those churches are gone. At one time, they were churches. But those local bodies are dead, and they're dead because they ceased to follow God's Word. Local churches die, but the true church of Jesus Christ shall remain forever as long as this world continues. When one body of people turns its back on God and on God's Word, Jesus will just raise up another people. He's not dependent on me or you to keep His church going. If we want to go some other way than following God and God's Word and God's way, that's fine. He'll just cut us off and He'll raise up a people somewhere else. But He will always have His church in the earth. And that's a blessing, isn't it? It's a blessing to know that. You know, we've got one couple that just started driving from Glenville, Georgia in the past 3 or 4 weeks. That's a long ways to drive to come to go to church, isn't it? And I said, can't you find some churches? Can't you visit around? He said, Brother Billy said, I've visited all around up there. I cannot find a church that wants to follow God's Word. Now, that's sad. Did you know it? The Word of God talks about in the latter days that there would be a famine in the land. In its context, it's talking about in the latter days of the Jewish world that there would be a famine in the land, not a famine of eating and drinking, but a famine of what? Of hearing the Word of the Lord. Did you know there's a famine in our land today? There's a famine of hearing the Word of the Lord. There are so many of God's dear children that are starving to death out there. They want to hear. They want to hear the Word of God. They're children of God, born of the Spirit of God. Their souls need nourishing. And the only food that will really nourish the souls of God's people is the true, sincere, honest milk and meat of God's holy Word. And so we're to receive that milk of the Word and meat of God's Word. Turn to 1 Peter. I want you to notice that we need the milk of the Word of God. Look in your Bibles, please. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. I want us to think about what the church needs. One of the things the church needs is food. And that's the reason so many people, and listen, brethren, it's not me. Do all of you understand it's not me? It's God that's blessing the church. Did you know I can't preach one lick without God blessing me? And the only reason, there have been a lot of times that I've been blessed to preach and I felt like, and I knew, God let me know, the only reason you're being blessed to preach is because that dear old sister, that dear old brother out there that's praying for you. That's a great blessing, you know it? To have brothers and sisters in Christ that are praying, Lord, feed me through your servant this day. There's some of these dear saints that come from the nursing home right down here. And most of them tell me, they say, Brother Billy, we've been praying for the Lord to bless you to feed us today.
Their souls are hungry. Their bodies are weak. They're faint. They're weary. But they're strong spiritually. And when they come expecting to be fed. And they're just like little mockingbirds, little baby mockingbirds, just sitting down there feeding on the Word of God, hungry for the Word of God. And Jesus says, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And you find the people that are hungering and thirsting after righteousness, God is going to feed them. God is going to provide for them. In 1 Peter chapter 2, listen to verse 2. The Word of God says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby." And this is talking about the individual members of the body. We need the sincere milk of the Word that we can grow thereby. I need to grow. And I'm not talking about physical growth, and I'm talking about us personally, spiritually growing. I need to grow. You need to grow. We need to grow spiritually. And if I desire the sincere milk of the Word, and I take in the Word of God, I'll grow spiritually. "As newborn babes," he says, "desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby." Listen to verse 3. "If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Have you tasted the good Word of God? That's what the Word of God talks about in several different places, about tasting the good Word of God. And if you ever tasted that the Lord is gracious, has it ever been so real to you that you could taste that the Lord is gracious? That's what he's talking about. He says, "To whom," listen now carefully to verses 4 and 5. He says, "To whom coming as unto a living stone." Now who is that living stone he mentions in verse 4? Who is that living stone? Living stone. We come to a living stone. Who is that living stone? That's Jesus Christ. "To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men." Was he disallowed? That is, was he just cast aside by men? "Disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious." And then he says, "Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house." Do you see the beauty of that? Now who is the living stone, the main living stone? That's Jesus Christ. But then he says, "And you also, your lively stones, you are built up a spiritual house." That's what the church is. You've got the living stone, and we come to that living stone, and then he adds us to the body, and we are built up a spiritual house. But you are lively stones. Are you rocks? Are you rocks? Supposed to be rocks. That's right. Supposed to be rocks. You know, a rock's not going to be blown about, is it? In Ephesians, he talks about that some of the people of God were tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, just blown all around. They weren't rocks. If you're a rock and you're founded on that solid rock, you're established in the truth and you're not going to be blown about with every wind of doctrine. Oh, isn't the church a wonderful, marvelous thing? It's a spiritual house made up of lively stones, living stones, built on the solid stone of Jesus Christ. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 2. I want you to notice this. This is beautiful in Ephesians chapter 2. Let me ask you this. Are we strangers and pilgrims in the earth? I preached that just last week, a week before last. Are we strangers and pilgrims in the earth? Are we strangers and pilgrims in the earth? All right. Now I want you to notice two different truths pertaining to us being strangers and pilgrims. If we as the church, if we as the members of the body of Christ, if we're living the way we're supposed to live, we're going to be strangers and pilgrims to the world, aren't we? But even though we are strangers and pilgrims to the world, we are fellow citizens of the same country. Now I want you to watch this. It's beautiful. In Ephesians chapter 2, listen beginning in verse 19. He says in Ephesians 2, verse 19, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." Do you see the camaraderie? Do you see the fellowship we have? Oh yes, we're strangers and pilgrims to the world. But are you and I strangers and pilgrims to each other? Or are we fellow citizens? You know, a fellow citizen, that means that we're part of a country, doesn't it? We're part of a city. That city is the city of God, the holy city, the New Jerusalem. And we're fellow citizens of this holy city, the New Jerusalem. We're part of His church and part of His city. And who is the king of that city? The king is Jesus Christ. And we're all fellow citizens. We have our own separate city, our own country. And as a part of the family of God and a part of the church of God, we're no more strangers and pilgrims to each other, but what are we now? We're fellow citizens. You know what you and I are, Brother Bud? Sister Ruth, what are we? We're fellow citizens. We're not strangers. Now, 6 months ago, we were strangers to each other. But I'll tell you, we're fellow citizens. We're about as close as humans can get. Fellow citizens. Believe in the same Lord, same God, part of the same city. Part of the same household. Isn't that a beautiful thing? The household. It's the family of God. And he says in verse 20 that we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And then it says, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. Do you see that? Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. In whom all the building fitly framed together. Is that a natural building or a spiritual building? That's a spiritual building. All the building. Isn't it amazing how we can all fit together? Isn't that a wonderful, marvelous thing that we can all fit together? And he compares it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 to being like a body, a natural body. You've got eyes and hands and fingers and you've got ears. And in the church, you know what you have in the church? You've got all these different parts of the body. And yet, every member of the body is important. Every member of the body is important. Now, let me say this. Brother Bud, do you still love those people down there at Nahanna that you used to go to church with? Good folks, aren't they? They're your brothers and sisters in Christ, aren't they? Now, if all we're going to talk about pertaining to the church is that we're all brothers and sisters in Christ, you don't have any reason to drive up here. But there's more to the church than just having brothers and sisters in Christ. This is very, very important. A lot of people don't understand this about the church. A lot of people say it doesn't make any difference where you go to church. It does make a difference where you go to church. It does make a difference. Because the true church of Jesus Christ is different than any other religious organization in the world. The true church of Jesus Christ is the pillar and ground of the truth. Brethren, God has blessed Brother Bud and Sister Ruth to come to a knowledge of the truth. And it's been marvelous. You know, one of the most wonderful things, I think the happiest thing in the world, I enjoyed seeing my babies and grandbabies born, but you know what makes me happier than anything else in the world? It's when I'm trying to teach God's people and I see God open their eyes and they come to a knowledge of the truth. To see them come out of darkness into God's marvelous light. To see them understand and be established in the truth of God's Word. To begin to understand, that's the greatest joy that I have in this world. That's the greatest joy I have, is to see people come to a knowledge of the truth. Now, what is the church? Turn in your Bibles in closing to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Now, this is the reason that Brother Bud and Sister Ruth and many others, you know, there are a lot of people that drive a long ways to come to church here. But here's the reason. It's because of what the church is, what the true church is. They pass a lot of good brothers and sisters in Christ. Do all of you understand that? Listen, I've got good brothers and sisters in Christ that I love in this city. I've got preachers in this city that I love with all my heart. They are my brothers in Christ, and they, to the best of their ability, I believe, are trying to serve God. But there's a difference in what we believe. There's a difference in what we believe about Jesus. There's a difference in what we believe about the sovereignty of God. There's a difference in what we believe about eternal salvation. There's a difference in what we believe about the kingdom of heaven. And whenever you've got all those differences, how can two walk together except they be agreed? We've got to agree on some things. We don't have to agree on everything, but there's some things we have to agree on in order to walk together. And those basic principles of God's Word, the fundamental principles of God's Word, if we can't agree on those things, we don't need to be united together. And I can testify to you that Brother Bud and Sister Ruth, they understand the truth of God's Word. That's the reason they're willing to submit to water baptism. That's the reason they're willing to come here to the church. Because they see that the church is supposed to be more than what most church people are. Does that mean you've got something to be proud of tonight? No, sir. Does it mean you've got to be something to be thankful for? Yes, sir, you better be thankful. You better be thankful. I don't deserve to be a part of this church. It's God's mercy and God's grace that allows me to be a part of this church. Nobody else here deserves to be a part of this church. It's God's mercy and grace. God brought me here. God sent me here. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing. You look out over this building, how in the world did we all come together? It's the power of God drawing, bringing us together to worship together. Listen, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, I want you to listen to what the Word of God says. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, and I'll close here with these two verses. The Word of God says these things, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, it says, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in," he's going to use three different phrases here, "in the house of God." Now what is the house of God? It's the church, isn't it? "That thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God." And then what's the third expression used there? "It's the pillar and ground of the truth." Now that's by definition what the church is. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Some people say, doesn't matter what you believe, truth is not that important. Truth is important. Amen. And don't you ever compromise on the truth of God's Word. If you do, you'll stop being the church of Jesus Christ. And don't ever compromise with anybody to try to say, well, we'll be a part of the church if you'll compromise in this area or that area. If you ever compromise, if you ever alter anything God has set forth in His Word and say you can't believe what God says or you can't stand where God's Word says to stand, you'll cease to be the church of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a privilege it is. Lord, I'm coming home. What a privilege it is to me to be a part of the true church of Jesus Christ, the pillar and ground of the truth, to be fellow citizens. Isn't that wonderful? I love you. You know it? I could just eat you up. Y'all are the most precious people on the face of the earth. Now, I love other people out there too. The Word of God says to do good to all men. But then it says this, it's especially unto the household of faith. Now, I love all people out there, but I'll tell you there's some people on this earth I love more than anybody else. And that's the members of this church. And I thank God for me being a member. I thank God for you being a member. And I pray that as we leave here tonight, we'll understand what a privilege it is to be a part of the true church of Jesus Christ in the earth, is my prayer for Christ's sake.